Welcome to the Mama Bear Dares podcast. I'm Tessie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we are sisters-in-law. We started this podcast because we believe that it isn't necessarily the rich, powerful, or well-known who are making the waves in this world. It's the moms. It's the women tending to their toddlers while launching international nonprofits or caring for babies and creating art. It's the women who believe in both their mother self and their other self, and who are nourishing both as those around them stand back in admiration for the way they stride through life. We know this to be true. It's the hand that rocks the cradle that rules the world. So join the Mama Bear community, where we support and encourage women doing big and bold things with their lives, in addition to being great moms, and dare you to harness the power of your Mama Bear to live a life of love and compassion.
Oh, that's right, Tessie. We think all of you. This podcast is for all of you. You all have this inside of you, and we're so glad that you stopped by today to listen. Today, we interview Mandy Arioto. She is the president and CEO of MOPS International. You guys have heard of MOPS, I know it, Mothers of Preschoolers. And in August, she will release her debut book. It's called Starry-Eyed, Seeing Grace in the Unfolding Constellation of Life and Motherhood. Tessie and I read this book. We loved it. We know you will too. It's currently available for pre-order on Amazon. And I don't know about you, Tessie. I highly recommend it.
Absolutely. And just the title alone, right? We get into the title on the podcast, but it's so good.
It is. So we did. We love the book, and we're so excited to let you listen in on the interview that we had with Mandy. We were truly blown away by our conversation with her. She just was so sweet and vulnerable and so smart and so full of inspiration. There were no canned responses from Mandy. She was all in this conversation, and I just loved the way that she opened up to us. So I think listeners will enjoy it too. They're going to hear in this podcast that it was just three women having a conversation on being moms and being women. And, you know, from wherever you're listening right now, I hope that your inner dialogue is running and that you let us know what you thought too.
Yeah.
One part, Tessie, that I really want to talk about before we drop in on the interview with Mandy is her willingness and her ability to sit in the dark times. We talk a lot on this podcast about the inspiring times, kind of the high points of life, but we don't often dig into those really tough moments, especially when it's our kids that are experiencing those moments. And so if you can kind of picture your own kid, you know, when they go through these really tough things, like, I don't know about you, but that is when my mama bear comes out. You know, it's that response of like, oh, I see them hurting, and like, I am either very upset or I'm mad at someone, you know, for making them feel that way. And so we talk a lot about harnessing our mama bear for really good things. And I think in this conversation, we kind of learn this other aspect of mama bear and how sometimes she can rush in and she can kind of bare her claws, but other times she kind of needs to hold back and she needs to allow her kids, her son or her daughter, to sit through dark and to go through their own pain so that they come out stronger.
Well, yeah, what we discovered in this interview, what you and I have known, she told a great story about her oldest 14-year-old son. And what we learned is that sometimes your mama bear is actually to step aside and go for the long game, right? Mm-hmm. Because in this case, when we're trying to teach our kid this resilience that comes from sitting through the pain and sitting through the discomfort of growing up, because we've all been there, the long game means that we let them figure that out themselves, that we let them walk through it, not alone, because we're there, we're sitting next to them, we're letting them process with us. But when we don't swoop in and save them, this is what builds the resilience. This is what builds their own mama bear or papa bear.
Exactly.
And yeah, we loved that part of the conversation with Mandy, because you and I haven't explored that on this podcast before. And even though we would say that's one of our parenting values, she just talked about it in such a good, succinct way. We knew we needed to talk about it a little more in the introduction.
Yeah, so think about your mama bear, the times when she really can be ripe for action, and the times where she just sort of has to sit quiet and allow her children to learn that resilience that really does come through walking through the ups and the downs of life.
Absolutely. So the conversation truly speaks for itself, holds water all on its own. But we did have just a few more points. Really pay attention, because we think that you, Mama Bear listener, are going to appreciate, or these little bits that will resonate with you. We talk again, like we've talked about a number of times, this Me Too factor, right? How it feels when someone says, oh, you're dealing with that? Me too. Just how good that feels.
Doesn't that feel great?
Oh my gosh. Hopefully this podcast, the Mama Bear Dares podcast, is that Me Too for people, the virtual Me Too. And yesterday I was out back in my hometown and someone came up and said, I listened to your podcast. And when you and Leslie were talking about your things you should feel guilty about but probably don't, there were like six times where I was like, oh, me too. Oh, okay. Thank God. That's the me too, right? She was released from her guilt because of our podcast. So.
Right. Because the sisterhood, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And I love too, Mandy gives some really tangible tips about combating mommy guilt. So listen towards the end of the conversation. And I love how she literally makes a list. She gives us like three or four points of like, okay, ask yourself these questions. And if you can say yes to them, then everything else is negotiable. And so I know I wrote them down personally. I also put them in the show notes, Mama Bear, so you can check them out there. Because honestly, like, it's a list we need to go back to over and over again. But it's certainly some wisdom that we gleaned from Mandy.
Preach. She talks about moms as world changers. We love this theme. We know this theme. It is a through line through this podcast. You guys know this to be true. And we love that. We talked about that. We also talked about how in her book and in this conversation with Mandy, motherhood as vocation. Mama Bears, this is the piece, if you are in the thick of raising toddlers, that I want you to play on repeat. It's towards the very end. You will highlight all of this throughout her book too, I promise, because I did. Mm. But pay attention. This is going to nourish your soul. So hang on towards the end for that, because it's such a good little nugget of wisdom.
It really is. Mandy is just, she's someone that you're just going to want to be friends with. You're going to want to read her book. You're going to want to listen to the podcast. And you're going to want to call her up and just chat and hang out, or like grab a cup of coffee with.
Yes.
It was a great interview, you guys. Yes. And so for sure, check out the book. We'll link it in the show notes. And for now, let's just jump in and enjoy this deep conversation with our fellow Mama Bear, Mandy Arioto. Mandy Arioto is the president and CEO of Mothers of Preschoolers International. Ladies, you may have heard of this. It's MOPS, and we'll use that acronym for the rest of this conversation. Mandy regularly speaks to national and international audiences on motherhood, spirituality, and cultural trends. Like many of our listeners and our guests, Mandy processes life as a mom to three through writing. And on August 30th, her first book, Starry-Eyed, Seeing Grace in the Unfolding Constellation of Life and Motherhood, comes out. So we are thrilled to welcome Mandy to the show. Welcome, Mandy.
I'm so excited to be here.
Good. We like to start with a pretty easy question. So tell us about where you grew up, and specifically, what was it about your childhood that you feel kind of brought you to where you are now?
So I grew up in upstate New York on this teeny tiny horse farm. And I think the thing about my childhood that has brought me to the place where I am now is my parents' parenting style. So if you ask my brother about my childhood, he'll tell you that we were jokingly raised by wolves. My parents have super laid-back parenting style. And so their favorite thing to say to us on a Saturday morning was to go outside and have an adventure and don't come back until you do.
Which
meant
Love
that
it.
We did a lot of dumb stuff, but we also learned a ton. And so I think that's like the pivotal thing from my childhood.
So you were probably, would you say you were like a free range kid before it was a thing?
Absolutely. My parents were like on the forefront of raising free range kids and let us go out into the woods and build forts on our own and do all sorts of a little bit dangerous things. And we are better for it because they let us do those kinds of things.
Yeah, you survived. We'll get into your mom because we loved the way you talk about your mom and your grandmother in your book. So we'll get into that. Don't worry, listeners. I'm as interested as you are as to whether she now parents that way. We will get into Mandy's parenting as well. But first, we want to hear you talk. So cute. I love the story of how you met your now husband, Joe, that you write about in your book. We're not going to spoil it for our mama bears, but we've noticed a theme with our guests that we've interviewed. Often, our guests, the moms or the women, are the ones with the big ideas, and their husbands or partners are sometimes giving them the side eye, but are always game to give it a shot. Does that ring true for your marriage dynamic as well?
Oh my gosh, my husband is the best sport ever. I come to him with the craziest ideas. We have picked up and moved more times than I can even count. And every single time, he is game. And I think the reason that I get to do and experience all these different things is because my husband is such a good sport. And so that is 100% true in our case.
So what is it kind of about the way that you parent together that makes you a good team? So like, are you the kind of person that has the ideas and you're sort of like the wind that pushes the family along? Or what is that like?
I probably come to Joe with at least 5 ideas a week of different things we should be doing with our kids, or, you know, different phrases we should say to them throughout the day to encourage them. Or, I am probably the idea force in our family, and Joe is like the rock and the stable one and the one who kind of mellows out the energy of our family so that it's really a sustainable pace for all of us. And so I would say we were laying in bed the other night and he looked over at me. He's like, I'm so proud of you for all of the ways that you are constantly thinking about our kids and how they each uniquely need something different. And he's like, I love that I get to be a part of making those things happen. And so he's just a tremendous person and a champion of me. And I try to be a huge champion of him and the things he wants to do in life. And I think it's that mutual wanting the best for the other person that works out in our family.
Yeah. When you were initially talking about how you come to him with 5 ideas, I thought, our Mama Bear listeners will say, oh, that's what Tessie and Leslie do all the time. We are those people too. And we can, both our husbands sound like Joe as well. Just how that is so important, not just for you and all you've been able to accomplish as a mom, as a wife, as the CEO of MOPS, this huge international organization, but also personally getting that little nod of, hey, you're doing it and I'm so proud of you. I'm so thankful to be along. That just is like wind in your sails, right? And you're like, great, I have 10 more ideas.
Absolutely. It just makes everything possible.
So your children are a little bit older now, but tell us, let's go back a little bit just to those first few years as a mom. I know you focus, you know, on moms of preschoolers, and those are some really intense years of parenting. So tell us just a little bit about what it was like to become a new mom and how you kind of lived out those years with Joe and others around you.
Yeah, that's a great question. I was 23 when I had my first baby. We had been married for a year and totally got surprised. And I remember sitting in the floor of the shower bawling my eyes out that I was pregnant. And because I was young and I didn't have a ton of kids around me, I had no idea what I was doing. And I think for all of my parenting career, so my oldest is 14 now, it's just a constant feeling of, I have no clue what I'm doing right now. And I think that in some ways is like the beauty of motherhood for me, in that my balance is always a little bit off and I'm always looking at how I can be the best mom in this particular moment right now without ever feeling like I'm nailing this gig. And so the things that kind of saved me when I was 23, in my early 20s with three little kids, were my friends and the ones who came alongside me who also had little kids and gave me excellent ideas, or even just said me too, because I think me too are some of the most powerful words we can offer one another, just reminding each other, like, hey, you are not the only one who is feeling this way. And so all those disorienting years of having littles at home was really fortified by people who are right next to me in the trenches experiencing the same things.
Oh, I mean, can I get an amen to that? That is so true. We found that to be 100% true. We had almost an entire podcast on the idea of Me Too as well. You know, that's really what MOPS is for. Leslie and I both found a local MOPS when we were, you know, in the trenches with all of these preschoolers around. Can you talk about why you believe it's so important? Obviously, you said it was, but why is it so important for moms to form this community and build solid friendships?
Yeah, I think even looking like throughout the ages, women relied on one another for everyday things. Like, we had our tribes of people. And I think the beauty of pulling together communities of women is that we all have different and unique strengths. We all have different ways of seeing the world. And when we bring those together and can kind of fortify one another, that is where the magic happens. My girlfriends have been my saving grace at so many moments of my life. And I think the best gift we can give to one another is to spend some concentrated time together periodically throughout a week or a month where we're just focusing on being with each other and reminding each other that we've got this. I was in New York last week with one of my best friends from seventh grade, and I was telling her about how guilty I felt about being a working mom and how I feel guilty 100% of the time. And she's in the same boat as me, and she just reminded me about all the things I needed to hear to kind of alleviate the guilt I was feeling. And I was like, that is the beauty of not only MOPS, but just girlfriends in general. And so I just think there is so much magic that happens when women come together.
So many of us, like when you said you feel guilty 100% of the time as a working mom, like I'm trying to let go of that guilt, but drop some knowledge. What did your girlfriend tell you that made you feel better? Because so many of us struggle with this.
She's really brilliant. She leads a huge portion of the Huffington Post. She works really long hours, and her husband stays home with her kids. And so she really walked me through this whole thing where she's like, okay, are your kids happy? Are your kids fed? Do they have clean clothes? Do you get at least 15 minutes of eye contact with them a day? And she just walked me through like all of these small but significant things where she reminded me, like, everything's taken care of. You right now are trying to be an overachiever, and you need to, like, slow your roll a little bit. Every single mom. We have this innate desire to be overachievers. And I was talking to my husband a couple weeks ago because he feels none of this pressure, right? He doesn't feel the need to have a clean house and gourmet meals and post, like, awesome yoga poses on Instagram and
right.
All these other things. And so I think we need to give ourselves a break a little bit and just say, my kids are happy. They know I love them tremendously. And they're watching me do what I am called to do in the world. And that in itself is a profound gift to give our kids, to see their parents fulfilling whatever it is that feeds their soul. And so she just kind of walked me through all these questions of significance and how all the foundational bases were being covered, and it just gave me a lot of freedom to say, okay, this is good. Like, this is an okay place to be, and I don't have to constantly feel guilty, even though it does creep in.
Oh, I love that. I love that, and I'm glad that we have it on tape right now, because those are great questions to ask yourself. It's sort of like this checklist that you can go through, and you'll need to be reminded, you know, like probably weekly, if not daily, like, okay, let me think about these things, and like, oh, yeah, like I am doing okay. So that's fantastic. You're talking about when you were a young mom, you know, finding this tribe of women, and we want to talk about MOPS, of course. I think it's hard sometimes for moms who don't have that sense of community. Like, they want it, they crave it, they know it's possible, but they just haven't found that yet. So what advice would you give to that mom who's in the trenches with young kids? I mean, obviously, like, check out your local MOPS group, right? But how do you kind of offer hope to that person that's feeling a little bit lonely right now?
Yeah, and I would say I have been there at different phases of my life over and over again, and so that is certainly not a new feeling. I think the trick, at least for me, has been to show up when I'm uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So to be perfectly honest, like, I am a complete introvert. I love to be in my head. It's hard for me to have conversations with people that I just meet. I constantly have to remind myself to show up to things when I'm, even in spite of being uncomfortable. And so that means talking to someone at the playground who I've just met and, like, initiating the conversation. Or showing up to a MOPS group was so hard for me because I knew no one. And so it's just like these little steps of putting yourself out there and realizing that there are so many other women who are in the exact same boat who would just, like, be so thrilled for you to start up a conversation with them. Mm-hmm. And so I just had to intentionally work at sparking new relationships in my life when I felt lonely and really taking initiative and saying the experience I'm having right now is the experience I'm creating. And so I'm going to work on creating a circle of friends intentionally by going outside of the things that I normally do and I'm comfortable with to bring people around me.
Oh, I love that so much. The idea that you're creating the experience and you're, you know, where you put your energy is tied to, like, how much energy you get back. And I remember when I moved from college, I had my husband and I had a little 1.5-year-old to another city where we didn't know anybody but my husband's family. I called Leslie and I said, I don't have any friends. Where do you meet friends when there are no bars?
Yeah,
and, exactly. And who have kids, right? Who are in the same position of not wanting to go out and drink all the time, who are working and then, or staying at home and then taking care of their children too. And she was the one that first mentioned MOPS. So for anyone who hasn't heard of it, can you tell us exactly, like, what does MOPS do? How does it serve the need that you just spoke about?
Totally. So MOPS is very simply an organization that we're in 40 countries all over the world. We're a global nonprofit. And our sole goal is to bring women together in their neighborhoods. It's usually about a 2-hour meeting a couple times a month. There's childcare, so it's awesome that you get to just let your kids be in a safe place where they get to play with other kids and you get to talk with other moms in your community. There's usually a speaker about some type of parenting resource or something to help in the relationships in your life. And it's just really a time to get, I don't like this term, but, like, poured into, to rejuvenate mm-hmm. your soul so that you're a better mom, a better partner, and just have some friends in your life who are in the same stage of mothering as you are. So we just gather women together. That's the whole goal of MOPS.
And in March, Mandy, you became the CEO of MOPS International, and you said when you accepted the position, moms are world changers. And I love that so much. And that's exactly what we're trying to do on this podcast, is just sort of give women the credit that they deserve, because, man, we're moving this whole place forward, you know? So how do you see this playing out in your life personally, but also in your role as CEO of this organization for mom world changers?
Yeah, I mean, I admire so much what you guys are doing, because it's so true, right? Like, we are raising the next generation of the world. And the way that we mother and teach our kids compassion and kindness and all of these virtues is really going to be the state of the world for the next couple hundred years. And so we have a profound job. I just love that as a leader at MOPS that I get to be an advocate for women and an advocate for the important work that moms do every day. It is just a huge gift that we get to really shape our children, and we get to remind them who they're becoming. And so that is just the biggest gift and the biggest honor as I drive into work every day that I get to contribute to that.
Yeah, that's fantastic. It's great to be aligned, you know, when your work can align with sort of your passion. That's a huge gift. And also, yeah, like I just so much believe that moms are world changers and game changers and diaper changers. Like, we're so many amazing things, right?
In your work as CEO, you undoubtedly get to hear from all kinds of women and mothers who are faced with overwhelming pressure to raise their children well, like we talked about, and take care of their homes and husbands and manage careers. So what's your advice to these moms who feel the pressure to be super mom? How do we balance it all?
Let me just give you an insight into my week this week. So I decided that laundry wasn't going to be the boss of me this week. That I'm currently wearing bikini bottoms instead of underwear because no one is wearing underwear.
I love it.
That's the state of my life. So I probably am the worst person to speak to this because I am a huge believer that there is no such thing as balance and that all of life is this weird swirly mix that sometimes some things flourish and others don't. And I think we have to open our hands most of the time and really, to be perfectly honest, lower the expectations because quite honestly, my kids are fine not having clean underwear for 2 days.
Right.
And so I think it's a really huge opportunity that we as a collective generation of sisters and women raising this next generation have, give ourselves a little break and say, I can't do it all. I can't cook dinner every night and exercise every morning and get up at 5:30 and have a full career. I just think at some seasons, some things flourish and some don't, and we don't have to have it all together. And that's just kind of the permission I'm working on giving myself lately. I don't have to have it all together, and there's no such thing as balance.
I so agree with that, which is crazy because our culture really pressures us to find whatever balance means. But for the most part, it does seem to swing one way and then the other and then the other way. And then maybe for 2 hot seconds, you get a balance where we're right in the middle. But for the most part, it's like a pendulum and where you work a lot and then you pull back and you're with your family on family vacation and then you go back into working a lot. And for whatever reason, we don't celebrate that. But I love what you just said. We have to, at some point, just be gentler with ourselves and understand that that's just not possible. And it's okay, especially when you're doing something you love and your kids are getting to see you be passionate about your work. That's a gift for you and for your kids.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, so I know the title of this podcast now has to have something to do with like bikini bottoms because the laundry is not done. But no, in all seriousness, I think it's great that like just that you would fess up to that kind of. And the fact, you know, just to say that like, you know, your kids don't have to wear it. They're not going to die from not wearing clean clothes. And I wonder if just if more of us were kind of honest about that or I don't know. Sometimes I just wonder, like, where do we get these ideas that we do have to be super mom? Because by now I'm reading enough stuff online or whatever that's sort of giving women permission to not be super mom anymore. And when we have intimate conversations with our friends, you know, we're all saying the same things. Like, we feel this pressure, and yet no one around us is like saying that to our face or whatever. So I'm just curious like where it comes from and why we kind of keep believing that this narrative. Because I think that though we may, maybe it's a matter of being gentler on ourselves, because I think most of the time, and maybe I'm just living in this Pollyanna kind of world, but like, I'm happy to give grace to other people or like, I want to be gentle. I'm not going to judge you for not putting clean clothes on this morning.
Totally. And I, you know what? I'm like so much freer with grace. I love going to people's houses who are messy and have like dirty dishes and the things like those are my favorite houses to go to. And I think all of the expectation, at least me personally, I'll speak for myself, is from me. Like 100%. I want people to think I have it all together. I want to look like when people come to my house, I want to have like food to serve them and I want them it has to be like semi in order and it's all internal. It's all me thinking that I want to put on some restaurant and actually have it together. And a lot of that is because if I did have it all together, my personal stress level would go down, right? So there's all these balls that I'm trying to keep in the air. And if I could just, like, manage it all, then I would somehow think I had it together and I could not stress about things. So I really feel like all of the pressure is internal on each of our individual, because I don't feel pressure from the outside.
Yeah.
That's me personally.
Yeah, no, I think it's interesting. And I think there's probably a lot of truth to that. So maybe just, I'd love to encourage our listeners, like, where are we getting these messages that we have to be put together? Like, maybe it is just you telling yourself that. And I mean, that's not going to be an easy fix, but like, it maybe would take some of the pressure off.
I love hearing you say that because it reminds me of those magazines, like, you know, Jennifer Aniston, she's just like us, mm-hmm. eating this cheeseburger or something. And you're the CEO of an international organization, and it feels like, hey, she's just like us. that's what all of us feel, you know? Mm-hmm. So I really love that. And we were just talking about all the roles that you fill, right? The CEO, this mom, wife, obviously a great friend as well. And then you decided to take on the role of author. So maybe you're not just like us, but I can do two things at once and one of them will be done fairly well. So when did the idea for this book first come to you? What made you decide it was a project worth pursuing?
Because of my role at MOP, Sonderbank came to me and asked me to write this book. And the concept in general came to me at a point in my life couple years ago where I started to go see a therapist because things felt overwhelmingly hard and dark. And kind of through that process, I realized that all growing up, I always thought that if life was hard, it meant I was doing it wrong. And I kind of came to this realization with the help of a really great therapist that life is just sometimes hard. And just because it's hard doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. It's just life in general. And so I just love this idea of constantly looking for glimmers of light in the darkness, because there are seasons in life that feel dark. And even if it's just a season where you're nursing babies all night in the dark, I like the idea of being starry-eyed and just kind of finding hope in any moment that you find yourself in.
That is great. And it is. It's such a beautiful title. It's Starry-Eyed, Seeing Grace in the Unfolding Constellation of Life and Motherhood. And I think what you just said, it's really the crux of the stories that you share and just the feeling that we're left with as readers when we put down the book, that there is hope in those dark places, but you kind of got to go through those dark places. So Tessie, I think we should get into the book.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Mandy, before we turned the recording on, both Leslie and I told you we really enjoyed this book, and we, as podcast hosts, get books sent to us a lot, and we like some and we don't like some. And we're pretty picky about who we interview, because if we are recommending a book, we want to be able to say, no, seriously, you should read this. And we really enjoyed your book. We love and believe wholeheartedly in the idea of embracing the dark so you can better appreciate the light. We found that to be totally true in our lives, as well as the lives of the mama bears that we've interviewed so far. And of course, my husband teases me often about joking when I'm uncomfortable or sad. And so I enjoy that your book offers some levity, even when you're dealing with kind of heavy subjects, right? But one of your chapters was so, I was reading it, and while I was waiting for my mom to come visit, and I had just walked by the mirror and was like, oh my gosh, you look just like your mom, Tessie. Like, I thought that was my mom. And you have a whole chapter about how you're becoming your mom. And I just was celebrating it with you, because obviously there are complex relationships with moms our listeners might have. But for me, I've noticed I become more and more like my mom as well. And I celebrate it for the most part.
Right. And you talk so lovingly about your mom and your grandmother, and they both seem like women who just love life and love the people in it so well. And I love the examples that you give in the book of them sharing their love in action. And I don't want to kind of give away too much of this chapter, but at one point you talk about your mom giving a blessing and a picture of her doing a handstand on your birthday every year. And I have to admit, like before this podcast, I practiced some handstands and cartwheels and it felt so fun. And it reminded me, like you say, not to take life so seriously. And I could relate because my mom always does a cartwheel on her birthday just to make sure like that she can still do it.
So awesome. I need to do that. I know.
You know, and I have to admit that like I was just doing cartwheels and I got a little dizzy. And so I feel like there's some work that needs to be done here. But with these like really fun examples and really beautiful examples that you give of these women who kind of came before you, just talk a little bit, just tell our listeners what they kind of taught you about being a mom and a woman in this world.
Yeah. So we have this thing that's kind of lasted throughout at least three generations of my family. And it started, you know, my great-great-grandparents grew up in the UK. And when they got married, they decided that for generations to come, they want their family to be known as having a legacy of love. And I think that has been the case so succinctly because my family intentionally work on kindness and being kind to everyone they meet. And so the couple things that the women in my life have taught me, I would say, is resilience. I have seen the women in my life, my mom, my grandma, my nana, my great-grandma, weather things that in looking at them would be so terrible to have to navigate. And yet they navigate it with such beauty and grace and this determined sense that we are going to make it through it no matter what. And I think in watching them do that, it has given me the courage to weather tough things with the same attitude of we can make it through this no matter what. And then I would say the thing that all of my mom, grandma, all of them kind of taught me too was that I have a tendency to take life really seriously and I can put my head down and like not carve out moments for fun. And yet that was so instrumental in who each of them were. Always finding moments of laughter, weaving jokes in, creating moments of fun for us kids. And they constantly remind me, like you mentioned earlier, not to take myself so seriously and that life is way too short to constantly be analyzing and so worried about the next step. Just really embrace the season you're in and embrace it with a lot of laughter and fun.
I love that. And honestly, of anything that my kids learn from me, I really hope it's that, you know, that life is of course meant to be taken seriously when things are serious, but also enjoy where you're at too, and don't take it too seriously. I mean, our culture is very serious about all the things, it seems like. You know, the reason I'm sitting under a table in a library right now is because I am at one of my sons' baseball tournaments in a random town, and he's 11, and these 11-year-olds are taking this baseball tournament so seriously, you know. So I love this idea that from early on you were learning from many women in kind of your tribe that life isn't meant to be taken that seriously because you get one beautiful life, so live it.
You're under the table because the sound is better. I feel like we should clarify that like you didn't just like go to the library and like sit under it. It's like because the carpet is absorbing the sound. But you really are a fun aunt, Tessie, to my kids too. I think you're totally doing that. And reminiscent of Mandy's book too. Like Tessie has this amazing laugh and I think like her kids will always hear her laughter. I mean, it's so true. Like you do that really well. I love it. Like she'll show up at like a game or a performance for my kids too. And they're like, oh, well I heard Aunt Tessie was there cause she was like the loudest laugher, you know? Like with the most love, kind of, you talk about that in your book too, of just like you will sometimes go over the top, like to cultivate joy. And it's really intentional and it's really important at a really foundational level.
Yeah, and sometimes my husband and kids will like accuse me of being ridiculous. Oh my gosh, why do you always have to go so big? But I can't help but think that, you know, at the end when everyone is reminiscing, those are the things that will stand out and really be seared into their memory. Mm-hmm. So I think sometimes it's the going big where it just creates really intentional memories.
Mm-hmm. To kind of flip to the other emotion, the other side of the spectrum here, you also write about sitting with pain. And in our culture, it's just so easy to numb the pain or to walk around the pain with, we have just so many, just endless distractions, right? That can kind of help us avoid any sort of heartbreak or pain or hurt. And it does hurt to walk through something difficult. It's a lot easier just to sidestep it and, you know, ignore it. So you spend a lot of time, though, in the book kind of encouraging readers to explore that darkness and that the whole spectrum of emotions. So why do you think it's so important that we get comfortable with pain?
Yeah, I'm a big believer, even just from my own experiences and having to work through some things, that if we don't look pain in the eye, it will never go away. And it takes some courage to look our pain in the eye, because sometimes it's a result of shame that we have from things that have happened in the past, sometimes the deep-seated fears about the future. But in my own life, I've had a tendency to numb the pain in various ways, and it never turns out well, right? So whether it's, for me, it was not eating. Some people, it's the opposite. There's all sorts of ways that we kind of try and press down or push away the things that are bothering us or making us uncomfortable. But when I have taken this step to look my pain in the eye and give it a name and say, this is the very thing I'm dealing with, and say it out loud, mm-hmm. that is when freedom has happened in my life. That is when I've been set free from all the things that I've been dragging along since my childhood. I just think when we get comfortable with pain, and getting comfortable with pain means looking it in the eye, speaking it out loud, preferably to another person, because then all of the power it has over us in a lot of ways diminishes. Getting comfortable with pain, I think, is a huge opportunity to take a step forward into becoming the person, a wholer version of ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think about Voldemort, like all the time. J.K. Rowling is so brilliant, right? Like, you've got to name it, like name those pieces of dark and just realize that, like, if you feel pain, then you're alive. Like, it's part of the package deal. And we can name it and then we can move past it and kind of emerge again in the light.
Absolutely. There's something just so powerful in putting it out there, because I don't know what it is, how it all happens, but when we say something, it diminishes its power.
It does give it power, but here's the rub, right? Is I have no problem walking through the pain myself, or I have a lot of problems, but I do it anyway because I know it's part of living. So as a mom raising these tiny whole humans, how do you help your kids sit with this pain? And how do you help them to see that instead of running from it, we're better off sitting still and trusting the process?
Yeah, I am an awesome rusher inner and wanting to fix everything. Like, that is my default. So even at, you know, any little uncomfortability that my kids face, I want to swoop in and like fix it. And I was reminded not too long ago by a dear friend who was telling me about just some difficult things that she was navigating. And she's like, the most shaping and liberating experiences that she's had in her entire life have been the hard things. And she was telling me how they have shaped her into the person she's become. And I was back at my own life and thought about all the heartbreak and, you know, difficult things that I've had to navigate. And they have truly, truly shaped me into who I have become. And it made me realize, like, I want that for my kids. I want them to get comfortable being uncomfortable, because that is the definition of what it means to be a resilient adult. I have really, especially as my kids are getting older, have had to take a step back. And so my oldest is 14. And just recently didn't get invited to this party that every single other one of his friends got invited to. And so he's on our couch just sobbing, sobbing his eyes out. And he's this 14-year-old boy who looks like a man, and yet he's sobbing on the couch. And I just went over and sat next to him, and I said, I know, this is so painful. And what I wanted to do was call up that mom and say, how dare you leave one kid out of this party and get on her case about it and then drive him over there.
I heard a collective kind of like clenching from all of our listeners, like that all of our mama bears just came out. Like we all want to call that mom. Like it's so hard.
But it was interesting for me because this is the first time that this has happened. I just went and sat next to him on the couch and I like played with his hair and just let him cry and I didn't say anything. And no joke, within like 3 minutes, he got up. He went and got a bottle of water, came and sat next to me and said, okay, I feel better. What are we going to do now? And it was like, I could have swooped in. I could have tried to fix stuff. I could have, you know, done all these things in my mama bear way to kind of go in with my claws bearing to go. But I just sat next to him, and 3 minutes later, he had somehow navigated that internally on his own and is probably a better person for it. It's so difficult. But I've just kind of learned to sit and be quiet and listen, and that sometimes is the best course of action for helping our kids deal with their pain.
Yeah, slow claps here in Iowa. Yeah. Slow claps.
Well, and we know that's true for everything else. Let them learn how to harness the power of their mama bear or papa bear, their budding little bears, you know? And the only way to do that really is through fire. That's so hard as a mom.
It's so hard, but that is such a great point. I love how you said that.
So what do you guys do as a family? I know you said that kindness is really important, as a very important value and kind of legacy for your family. And I got the sense too, especially farther along in the book, that like action is really important to your family, and it's important to you and your husband in the way that you want to raise your children. So what are ways that you as a mom kind of try to harness that sort of righteous anger, that passion that you see that your children are capable of and that you are capable of when you see kind of a hurting world?
Yeah, I think that's a hard part. So my kids always have a lot of questions, right? Especially in light of all the things in the news recently and tragedies that happen all over the world. Like, why do things like this happen? And I heard Fred Rogers talking once, and he was sharing about how his mom used to talk to him about tragedies that happened in the world, and her advice is to always look for the helpers.
Yes.
What a beautiful angle to take with our kids. And so to always kind of point them towards, look at all those amazing people who are doing things that are helping the people who are suffering. And so we just kind of have tried to weave all of that into our daily lives. So it's just a normal part of who we are as a family. We are weaving into our day just normal experiences where our kids learn how to be world citizens and realize that there are hard things in the world. Every summer we have instead of having a garage sale, we just have a giveaway. So anything we want to get rid of, we put it in our front yard. And we live kind of in a downtown area. And so we just say that everything's free. And it's amazing what kind of community that cultivates, where we live in particular, where we just have a posture of generosity with our neighbors. And then, you know, when hard things happen in the world, something that we do is try and help my kids think up ideas of how we can be helpers, just like Fred Rogers' mom suggested. And so they'll bake cookies for first responders, or just like little tiny things that help them feel empowered in kind of spreading kindness in the world.
That's awesome. And yeah, I mean, that is, you're setting the stage, like you're raising little world changers, because those, even the smallest actions they just really resonate, not only for the person who's doing that service and baking those cupcakes, but for the person receiving too. And I think that's a great thing for, you know, all of us to be thinking about.
On the podcast, we like to give practical advice, and those were good practical ways that we can raise world changers. You know, this podcast has kind of a social justice bent on it, if you will, because we just think it's important. It's important to engage your mama bear in a way that will help move the world forward in love and compassion. And when our kids see us do it, they think that that becomes normalized to them. And so I love those ideas that you gave. And I really hope our mama bears were listening with the pen and paper handy, because I think those are really great practical ways we can engage with the world. And like you said, not make a revolution, but mm-hmm. at the same time, at least empower our kids to make them realize my small actions can make a little bit of a change. And that's a big deal to feel that as a little one.
Absolutely. It's so empowering for them to know that they can make a difference in the world.
And have fun while doing it. You know, it's not like it's this grudging task, you know, like my mom's making me do, you know, like it can just be such a beautiful, fun experience. Like charity doesn't have to be boring.
Right? That's so true.
On the topic of what we can do as men and women raising our children, it just, to me, there's just so much power in the role that we play. But there, we hear a lot from women who feel like the women that we interview are doing this extraordinary, they're doing these extraordinary things. And sometimes we hear from listeners and they're saying things like, oh, I'm not really doing anything with my life. I'm knee deep in Legos and it's really all I can do to get through a day. And so I loved the chapter and the attention that you give in the book and just in talking to you now about motherhood as a vocation. And just to quote the book real quick, you say, "Motherhood is your worthy calling for today, and you are significant. Just as a lighthouse beckons souls toward a safe harbor, the work of your day will woo your kids toward a light called home." And I love that. But I do think it's hard to remember that when you're in the trenches and in a culture that doesn't really celebrate like the just a mom, you know, doesn't celebrate that staying home as a vocation. So do you have any tips or ideas or maybe experiences that you could share with our listeners who are feeling a little less than because of their mommy gig as a vocation status?
Absolutely. And I have 100% been there. I remember I was on the airplane once sitting next to this guy in a suit and he asked me what I did. And I was like, oh, and I said those words, just a mom. And that's how I felt at the moment. Like it wasn't significant. And then I was embarrassed that I wasn't doing something else with my life. There's a couple of thoughts I have about it. One, I think there is a lot of power in embracing the season you're in. And one thing I can say is that none of the experiences in my life have gone to waste. So I stayed full-time home with my kids for about 4 years. And then, you know, have had all different experiences and all different opportunities, and none of it has gone to waste. So I would say, first of all, this time at home focusing and picking up Legos and, like, being with your children will not go to waste. It is a significant period of time. Another piece of advice I got was from a mom who was about 10 years older than me when I had all three little kids. And she said, pick three things that you want to be an expert in, and then use your stolen moments to become an expert in those things. And she said, when your kids are at school and when you have like finished this season of being a full-time mom at home, those things will be becomes significantly important. And so for her three things that she wanted to focus on were becoming a good cook, because she didn't know how to make anything, becoming a sleep expert. So she wanted to know exactly what made kids tick in the sleep department and become an expert in that. And then the third thing was that she wanted to be an expert writer. Astonishingly, all these years later, she's now a sleep expert, and she works with celebrities and goes into their homes and helps them teach their kids healthy sleep rhythms and is profoundly successful and just doing all of these amazing things. But I thought, what great advice. Like, use your stolen moments now. And stolen moments are, you know, the half hour when your kids are sleeping or 45 minutes before everybody wakes up.
Mm-hmm.
Use your stolen moments to become an expert in things that are exciting to you. And none of that will go to waste once your kids are in school and you have a little more space to pursue the things that you really enjoy. And so I would just say every single season is significant. And if you can show up and be 100% present in the future, all of those things will come together and be used in a way that you can't even imagine yet.
Oh, I love that. I love that. That's such great advice. I wish I would have heard that 10 years ago. And I mean, we all know where those stolen moments are, right? I mean, we know exactly when they come, and to kind of fill those with this purpose that's also really life-giving in that moment and sort of sets the stage for later on. Like, that's fantastic advice.
Well, and you talked about seasons, and you're right. Building rhythms into your life and seasons into your life is vitally important. And when you reference being able to be really present because of the stolen moments and because you've been able to kind of engage with different parts and different seasons of your life, one of those that we often talk about here on the podcast is just those moments where you get to nurture your other self. We distinguish between the mother self, you know, this one that we pour all of our energy out into our children. And that kind of covers into our husbands or partners, wives as well. But then our other self, you know, this one who you really are, who you were made to be. And so you kind of have to build a rhythm where you celebrate that, where you nurture that. So what do you do since you have all of this stuff going on? What do you do that is just for Mandy?
That's a great question. And I'll be honest that I'm working really hard at getting better at building healthy rhythms into my life. So what I realized for me personally was my default, when I think of rest and rejuvenation, was like spending time alone in my head by myself. And what I've realized over the years is that that isn't good for me, because there's a difference between rest and restoration. And for me, restoration is doing the things that like bring me joy and fill my soul, just kind of like what you were talking about with the other self and really cultivating that. For me, I have started to take a dance class because I loved dancing growing up. And so I'm an adult going back and taking dance class, and it's so random and weird, but it like makes me so happy. And so that's one thing I've kind of started to weave into my day. And then the other thing that I do, and this is asinine and annoying to a lot of people, it used to annoy me when I had little kids and people would say this, but I've started to get up at early in the morning. And I know that's super annoying, but there is this moment at my house when everyone is asleep, and it is just beautiful, and I get to read and have a cup of tea, and it like recharges my soul and makes me feel more like myself. So those are two little things that I do.
I love that. And Tessie, I'm going to ask you to start sending your early morning text messages to Mandy, because I'm not there yet. I'm not up yet. But I do hear, that that's wonderful.
It's so hard for me, to be perfectly honest, but I found that it's good, a good thing for me. Not everybody, but for me.
Mandy, I'm on board with the early morning hours because there is something about it. And clearly, I just don't have any gauge on when the rest of the world wakes up, because I do wake Leslie up with my texting all the time.
You're up and at it, ready to go.
I am.
Yeah, you are.
You need everybody in your tribe, right? You need the early morning people, right? The people late at night who text you. Yeah.
Totally. That way, any hour of the day, you're covered.
Yeah. Well, Mandy, we know you're so busy with everything you have going on, and it's such an exciting time for you. We are so excited for our Mama Bears to be able to have access to this book. We think it'll be just really encouraging for them. So can you tell us where we can find the book, where we can find you on social media or any of that, if people are wanting to follow along?
So you can find Starry Eyed at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or wherever books are sold. And you can find me at MandyArioto.com. On Instagram or Facebook.
Great. And Mama Bears, it's such a great book. Starry-Eyed, Seeing Grace in the Unfolding Constellation of Life and Motherhood. I think moms from all walks of life are going to identify with what you've written in this book. And just thank you so much, Mandy, for taking the time today to tell us a little bit more about you and about your journey as a woman and as a mom. We think that the book and this podcast will be a really great encouragement and resource for women everywhere.
Oh my gosh, you guys are doing such important work. It was such an honor to spend time with you today. Thanks so much, you guys.
Thanks, Mandy. So as always, we want to leave you with a dare. Mama Bears, today we dare you to live into the darkness with starry-eyed wonder and acceptance. We dare you to look around at your life at whatever phase or stage you might find yourself and acknowledge the joys and the pain. Name your fears and your demons, and then look back toward healing and growth. Build beautiful friendships intentionally and with your whole heart, and allow your friends to breathe light into your world in times of darkness and celebrate alongside of you in times of joy. Live big and live bold. Laugh too loud.
Yes.
And celebrate wildly in recognition of who you are and where you're from. You're doing amazing things, Mama Bear. Your starry eyes are bright and your life is big.
Truth bomb. I love it. You guys, if you're new to this podcast, if you came here just because Mandy has drawn you into her soul tribe, we get that. We feel like we're there too. Please join our community on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You'll find us there at Mama Bear Dares. And we know you can't call Mandy up and have a cup of coffee, but what you can do is leave a comment on the post to this specific podcast episode. We have great conversations under those, so we would be happy to have a virtual cup of coffee with you through that.
Mm-hmm. Or wine.
Or
margarita.
Yeah, depending on when you're listening to this. We don't judge. We don't judge. And also, we have a website. We talk about show notes. If you're new to podcasting, all that means is that you can check out our website, www.mamabeardarespodcast.com. We have a link to buy her book. Anything else that we mention and say those words, show notes, that's where you'll find them. So head on over there. If you thought of another Mama Bear who you think would be a great interview and who other Mama Bear listeners will get a lot from a conversation with us, you can tell us about them. Email us at mamabeardares@gmail.com and we would be happy to introduce ourselves. You guys, thank you so much for sticking with us. We hope you have a fantastic week. Remember, we will be back here on Wednesday with a Mama Bear Mini.
That's right. Have a great week, Mama Bears.